Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers Podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. We are now a day removed from the Lakers' super impressive preseason victory, preseason drubbing of the Sacramento Queens. We already recapped. We had the immediate response that you can find on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. The first half of the show was me talking directly to fans on Facebook. So, and this is going to be something that we are going to do as much as we possibly can. So make sure you guys are tuned in to Silver Screen and Roll's Facebook Live on game nights for
just like Silver Screen and Roll on Facebook, and you will get a notification when Anthony is going live.
Either I or Harrison.
Yeah.
I almost referred to myself in the third person. But anyway, the first half of the show was me reacting, and then Harrison jumped on with me on his commute home from the Honda Center. And, what we're going to do today, now that we have a little bit of time, we've been able to collect our thoughts a little bit more and notice some more intricate things regarding the game. So we'll talk about that. We are going to talk about, everybody's favorite positional competition in training camp, Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. We had yet another chapter in whatever the story that's developing there. Toilet. And then finally, at the end of the show, we have yet another chapter in the 50 Shades of Shade saga that has been the Lakers offseason and now preseason.
Eventually, I think we're at the point where we're going to have more 50 Shades of Shades than there are 50 Shades of Grey actual novels and fan fiction combined, because we just keep thinking that segment is over and it just keeps getting new additions. And it's not our fault. We can't help it. People are sending the shade our way. It's just like it's a hot day in L.A. and they're like, hey, Harrison Anthony, here's some shade.
Right. No, I that's the thing is that. If we ever stop getting the mentions, or if we stop seeing the hashtag in use, then sure, we'll move off of the topic. But it gets used a bunch, and we're gonna give the people what they want. To quote the great Jalen Rose, who is not that great because he had 81 points dropped on him by Kobe. All right, so. Before we move on, make sure you guys are using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek. Again, that is LOLakers. The Lakers play at Staples Center on Friday. It's a great way to get access to that game and have $20 to spend while you're there. And then the Dodgers get ready again. They play in Washington to start their series, but they come back here in Game 3, and I probably should have that off the top of my head when they actually do. But when they do, go ahead and use SeatGeek and our promo code to get into those games. And the Rams are still a thing in Los Angeles, even though apparently the Coliseum on a hot afternoon has been described as a microwave. So as unpleasant as that might be, it's all the more pleasant if you can get access with a free $20 to some free beer.
Or to buy... Well, I don't know, like a portable fan or something.
Yeah,
or you get
umbrella.
A portable fan, or like a spritz bottle.
Yeah,
some water bottles to pour on yourself.
Well, actually, the problem with those things is, again, I've heard that the water there is kind of warm too, so I don't know if that would necessarily help.
Well, okay, never mind. Let's just move on.
All right, we'll move on. Let's go ahead and jump into our reaction now, a day removed from the game, and something that at Basketball pointed out to me, or pointed out both publicly and then today, I guess I probably shouldn't be using private messages as topics. I shouldn't be.
Welcome to our new segment. Anthony reveals who's DMing him of the week.
but he, Contrarian Barbarian, is among the smarter people on NBA Twitter, on Lakers Twitter. So make sure you guys are following him. He is at Basketball, but with an A, I think, between the.
You've seen us retweet him.
Exactly. And we'll give him more shout outs as the season goes on. But he pointed out last night, as the game was going on, that Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell weren't spending very much time together on the court. So I went back and I rewatched the game, and he was completely right. It was just kind of this weird thing, and you would think that for the Lakers, quote unquote, backcourt of the future, they would want to set that tone early on and very often. But that's not what we saw last night. So I guess, for lack of a better way to phrase this, we're only one game in, but should we be a little, I guess, worried about what's going on there? Is that something that we should notice?
Well, I think what we saw in kind of that choice was that, you know, all of that talk last year about people not wanting to play with D'Angelo Russell was obviously correct. I think Jordan Clarkson probably asked to be moved. No.
Harrison, this isn't Harrison's hot takes. That was.
Yeah, that's right. We'll save that one for Monday.
On Thursday.
And I already did D'Angelo Russell's bad teammate for one of my hot takes that are, again, parody for, you know, in
Satire.
Case you're dumb. but I don't know. It's definitely not something worth freaking out about. I think it's interesting for sure. It's something that, you know, I've talked with people, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, about how I don't think that there should be a whole lot of minutes where neither of Clarkson or Russell are on the floor, but I don't necessarily mean that they should be entirely split up either. I just think that their minutes should be staggered to some degree so that they get some time without each other. And so I think last night that was more about Luke getting a look at Clarkson in the six-man role and getting a look at him, because he said he was going to try out different lineups he wanted to use throughout the season, right? And so I think part of it was getting a look at Jordan Clarkson as the sole fulcrum of those bench units, more so than seeing if those two can play together.
My only thing is, why make the tweak one preseason game into this thing, right? Like, why? I guess.
See, that's where we disagree. I don't think it's a tweak. I think it's just him experimenting with something specific.
All right, we're talking semantics, but why experiment with that without seeing those guys on the court in your system together yet, in an actual basketball game?
I'd say maybe they run a lot together during practice. Maybe he feels relatively comfortable about that fit already. That's what comes immediately to mind.
I guess for me, it's look, we say this often, and I found myself saying this quite a bit in the Facebook Live session right after the game, in that all of our speculation could be for naught if all of a sudden we see Jordan Clarkson starting on Friday and playing heavy minutes with D'Angelo Russell.
Being best friends who want to play together again instead of like last night where they just didn't want to play together, clearly.
Clearly. It could very well have been a request from both those guys.
Yeah.
That they just said, nah, you know what? We're never going to work out together. We are already Kobe and Shaq. Give me the ball in the post. One of those guys.
Jordan wrote "Pay Me, Jimmy" on his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously.
After the game and after Jordan Clarkson outplayed D'Angelo Russell, he told D'Angelo to ask, you know, he asked him what his something tastes. you know, and
yeah, he said this is my team. No, okay, so none of that's true. But anyway, I think it's interesting. I definitely don't think it's something worth freaking out about.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm necessarily freaking out about it, but it definitely was noteworthy.
Yes.
It's certainly something that if we see that become a trend moving forward, and it wouldn't be the first time that the Lakers have necessarily misled people with their public sentiment regarding a player or a coach or whatever, you know, for whatever reason they do that for, it wouldn't be the first time that they would do that. And in this case, it seems weird because the fit seems pretty natural, right? Like last night, Lou Williams had to start the game matched up against Aaron Aflalo defensively, and it was ugly.
Was really bad.
Right.
Aaron Aflalo made Lou Williams look like E.G. Onleon's favorite chair that right. got him drafted sixth overall or seventh overall or whatever it was. But
Dave Yeager immediately put Aflalo in the post against Lou Williams, and it was never even, you know, it was only a matter of whether or not Aflalo missed the shot.
Yeah.
And you know, for you know, when you're looking at a team like the Lakers have, it'd be nice if you have Clarkson out there because you don't have such an ugly mismatch. I mean, for everything that we talked about, you know, regarding Jordan Clarkson's defense last year, nobody would have said, hey, the counter to Jordan Clarkson not improving defensively is, all right, we'll throw Lou Williams' defensive stopper out there. Right? So that doesn't necessarily do anybody any favors. And we saw that at the beginning of the game last night.
But if Clarkson's going to play the type of defense he did last night, then it's not just a matter of you're replacing one bad defender with another bad defender. It's that you're replacing a probably average defender, at least from what we've seen so far during one preseason game, mm-hmm. and at the very least average defender with a very poor defender.
And
Lou's defense hurts less with the second unit.
To extend the point that you're making regarding Clarkson's defense, all we were hoping from Clarkson was that he would be an average defender. And we at least saw that last night. You know, there were still some habits that, you know, could go
there
away
were...
a little bit, but I was actually really impressed. I thought watching the game last night, I thought Clarkson was the best Laker on the floor, consistently on both sides of the ball. Now, Timofey Mozgov played well, and Jose Calderon showed himself to be easily the better of the two backup point guards. And nobody's really expecting Lou Alding to go out there and light up a preseason game, so that's also an important caveat to make there. But
so you wouldn't declare his contract a waste yet, then?
Not quite yet.
All right, we'll hold off at least another game.
But with Clarkson, I was actually really impressed with, and the other thing that I liked, and I thought it was kind of a, I don't know if I'd call it a message, and I'd actually like it if it was a message, but it was kind of annoying at the beginning of you know, when the stars were out there on the court together, there were a couple times where the ball rotated over to Lou when he had the ball in space, and instead of shooting on the catch, he kind of hesitated and tried to make something happen that wasn't necessarily there. And then Clarkson came in off of the bench and was immediately trying to catch and shoot as much as he was. So it was almost like if it was a message, then good on you, Jordan, for doing that. But that was very Australian.
I was going to say, why did you tell him that as an Australian?
Good on you, mate.
On you, Jordan.
Let's throw another shrimp on the barbie. But
I think that was the play call for the Kings when Aflalo was being guarded by Williams.
But I did find it interesting that Jordan got out there and he was immediately looking to catch and shoot, where it was kind of frustrating to watch Lou not do that with the starters. The other important note, and this is a correction that we wanted to make regarding the game before.
Yes,
we move
it was
on.
Actually shout out to listener at Derek EDW for pointing this out. I kind of tried to point it out on the podcast last night that I didn't think that Nick Young was the only one who hadn't played, and he was nice enough to point out for us, since again I was driving home, I did not have a minute sheet in front of me, that Nick, Zach August, and Meta World Peace all did not play. Although Zach August, again, biggest contribution of the night, for at least for the media, by saving the media row next to me from getting their laptops obliterated by Rudy Gay's buzzer-beating half-court shot.
Well, that was nice of him.
Yeah, he stepped in off the bench and just caught the ball, so no one had to go home with a broken MacBook, so that was nice of him.
You don't have a MacBook.
No, I mean, it wasn't like I was to the left of the basket, and it was the one to the right, but anyway.
So if we expand the guys out who aren't getting minutes there, I still think it's something to be somewhat worried about for each of those guys. Meta less so than the other two, but like Zach August should be a little worried because both Travis Ware and Thomas Robinson got in there, got minutes, and I mean nobody's really expecting anything from Ware, so him impressing doesn't necessarily.
And again,
take
I think
much.
Ware played for like what did Ware play for? Like 2 minutes
or two.
Maybe.
Yeah, like at the very end of the game. But Robinson did get some, I wouldn't say nope, I'm not even gonna call it anywhere near substantial. But Robinson did get in there, and he mixed it up a bit, and he did the kind of things that the Lakers are hoping for Thomas Robinson to be able to do.
He did Thomas Robinson things.
Yeah, I mean, he got in there, and my – I can't believe I'm going to tell this story on the show. Jen and I were watching the game. Robinson stepped – I think he got fouled or something like that. He was at the free throw line, and – the audio, I wouldn't say cut out, but sometimes you have those kind of lulls, those low points in the audio.
I think that usually means that somebody cursed.
No, it wasn't. It didn't cut out. It was just sometimes there are lulls in the game in the audio, especially like before a free throw where everybody's kind of getting set and stuff like that. And over my left shoulder, I hear Jen go, and I look over, the hell, you know, one of those. Yeah, come on, man. Like if I make that noise looking at the cheerleaders, I deal with
oh,
it.
Oh,
like
now we gotta cut this. Oh, come
do
on,
we
man.
Have to? Nah, I think it's funny. So anywho, Jen is hoping for Thomas Robinson to make the roster, and this is something that you know, unfortunately for Robinson, her favorite Lakers of the last few years have been Trevor Ariza and Javaris Crittenton, neither of whom lasted very long after she made those calls. So I'm praying for you, Thomas. But anywho, if I'm Zach August and I'm looking at those guys getting minutes ahead of me and Robinson playing well ahead of me, I'm a little nervous. And then if I'm Nick Young and I see guys like Anthony Brown step up ahead of me and make and play well, and I look at, you know, Lou Williams actually start, I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to feel all that great about stuff going on ahead of me with the roster. So that was the point that I would make. But important correction, because three guys didn't play when originally I had originally said that Nick Young was the only one who did not play. So thank you to – who was it who made the correction?
It was at – at Derek EDW. So we always appreciate hearing from you listeners, especially when you're calling out Anthony for being wrong and or for telling just weird stories about his wife and which Lakers she finds attractive. So I'm glad that we're going to have to bring Jen on to talk about that, I guess.
Yeah,
now.
She's going
to. I don't know. I honestly have no idea how to respond to the direction this segment went. I'm glad you asked me a specific question and to read a name, because I was just speechless.
Harrison's mouth was agape for the entirety of that story.
But literally it was. Okay. All right. We'll leave it in there. We'll see what the...
another little bit of housekeeping before we move on to the Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr. conversation. The Lakers made a few hires today. You have the press release in front of you, so go ahead and give us some information on the people that they hired, and we'll just we'll react to it for, you know, maybe a minute or two each. But I do find a couple things in there kind of interesting. So go ahead and give the listeners the information on the new hires.
Yes, so the Lakers sent out a press release today. They announced the hirings of Jennifer Swanson as head physical therapist, which Kevin Ding of Bleacher Report had already reported. And they also announced that they were adding to the training staff Stacey Robinson as massage therapist and Sean Light as assistant strength and conditioning coach. So those guys are going, those two are going to work, or those three are going to work with the training staff now. The team also beefed up their analytics department a little bit. They added Lorena Martin as director of sports performance analytics and Jay Kim as basketball data analyst, both of whom will report to basketball director of basketball analytics. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name right, Yuju Lee. And then they also added Joshua Wright as assistant to the head coach, reporting to head coach Luke Walton. So not an assistant coach, the assistant to the head coach.
He's
the Dwight Schrute of the Lakers. And I really, you know, it's actually quite a bit of a promotion for him, because last year he was volunteering as part of the Wake Forest men's basketball program.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's quite the jump. So you got to show something to make that career jump. Like, that's pretty big. And he also interestingly played football at Georgetown, so where he got his degree in kinesiology. But anyway, so the training staff stuff and the coach, you know, Wright joining the team, I don't know that we can offer a whole lot of analysis on that unless you want to bring Jen in here to talk about her her actual specialization in the medical field and not just Thomas Robinson.
So the way I read that or my reaction immediately to it, because I didn't write about it or anything, but my reaction was, wow, that's a whole bunch of non-Lakers people that they're hiring to this team. And it kind of continues with this movement. Like, my top criticism of the Lakers hiring process for as long as I can remember is a bunch of in-house promotions. It was very ambiguous. Nobody really knew what was going on. And with the hires today, they have very specific roles that they are being hired into, and they are from all kinds of different backgrounds. And, you know, the reason I was worrying a little bit...
All of them have really good resumes.
Oh, incredible. They're way smarter than us.
Yeah.
So, but you know, with the prior hiring or promotion process, it became... What I was becoming concerned with was very insular thinking, you know, the Laker way is the only way kind of thing. But the more people that they offer into this, you know, into this equation of, you know, different backgrounds and different roles and brand new roles, it makes me really excited for the direction that the Lakers are going in. That they're rethinking a lot of things, and not that the Laker way before, you know, only a few years ago, because to question the Laker way up until a few years ago wouldn't necessarily make sense because of the success the franchise had had to that point.
Hold on. Count the rings.
Right. Now we're counting the roles.
Yeah.
But, you know, with over the last few years, if that criticism is there, that they're becoming very insular, now you get to look at the people that they're hiring and you kind of say, hey, they're dealing with this criticism. They're seeing that criticism out there and they're responding to it with we don't know if they're necessarily smart hires right now, but they're at least trying something different. And you have to give them credit for that.
They're very... I guess the I would
that are
use
being
the
hired
word,
are smart. Yeah.
Yeah. The hiring process is smart. Not that, because the people they're hiring, I mean, for instance, Lorena Martin, who they hired as the director of sports performance analytics, her resume, she just finished 3 years of I'm reading from the press release. She just finished 3 years of postdoctoral research at the University of California, San Diego. Her credentials include postdoctorates in epidemiology, biostatistics, and GIS spatial analysis, a doctorate in exercise physiology, and both master's and bachelor's degrees in psychology. She also spent time as a visiting scientist at the SALK Institute for Biological Studies in the Belmont Gene Expression Laboratory. In addition, Dr. Martin has taught multiple courses at various universities, including the University of Miami, Florida International University, and Northwestern University in fields of research, methods, statistics, sports performance, and data science, which later resulted in her developing a course in sports performance analytics for Northwestern University. In addition, she published a sole-authored book, Sports Performance Measurement and Analytics, earlier this year based on sports performance research, her experiences as a former professional tennis player, and knowledge from her previous work with professional sports teams in the NBA, NFL, and ATP Tour, as well as within hospital and clinical research settings. So basically, she is the smartest and most accomplished person on the planet. I was reading through that resume and thinking that halfway it cut off into a different member of the team's resume is how I remembered it. But no, that whole graph was her. And that is, so she's really smart. And I think that the Lakers hiring a bunch of analytics people or two more analytics people, it was interesting to me in that it's pushing back against this narrative that they're doing their player progression on they're doing their player evaluation on an abacus and using VHS tape.
Yes, very much so.
So that... I think they tossed out the abacus. I think Martin is bringing in some PCs for the whole group and they're going to get to work. But no, I mean, it sounds like this has been a slow burn for them. They made additions to their analytics department last year. They're making more now. And so I think that that's something, again, these hires are not going to win them a championship, but it's the type of thing that does bolster a good organization.
Well, and it gives your, like, if I'm a Laker right now, if I'm one of the Lakers players, especially if I'm one of the younger Laker players, I'm saying, hey, this organization is investing back into itself, right? And you know, you combine that with the Luke Walton hiring. You look at the kind of staff that they brought in. It's very progressive thinking, and for an organization like the Lakers, they have been anything but progressive up until a few years ago. And it's really nice to, you know, you're really seeing concrete evidence of this stuff. And it's really great to hear. So that was all the housekeeping that we have.
I hope that reading the resume wasn't too dry, but I was very entertained
that
by continuing.
That's
the most impressive resume I've ever read. Lorena Martin for president. I know where I'm casting my vote.
All I know is she better not get into the podcasting industry, or else you and I are both fired yesterday.
Yeah, she also has a podcast called.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on. The other, and this is going to occur. I have a pretty good feeling that we're going to have this conversation throughout the year.
We're going back to the well. We're going back to the gondola.
Yes, we are. Harrison and I are sitting in a gondola right now. I actually went and bought one. We are not, but
in our minds.
In our minds, I'm going to. All right, but the. Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr. conversation had another, you know, the fire was stoked a little bit. Some gasoline was poured on it because Julius Randle did not play very well. Larry Nance Jr. did play very well. And for me, I feel like I say this pretty often. I know I am way lower on Julius Randle than most people are. That doesn't necessarily mean I don't like him as a player. I don't know what
just
he can,
as a person,
but I don't know what he can be, you know, in terms of long term, and I don't know if he necessarily fits with the starting five, right? And when you combine Julius, you know, making the choice not to play in summer league and kind of opening up the door for Larry Nance Jr. to you know, kind of get his foot in there a little bit, or maybe get a shoulder in there a little bit. kind of tuck his arm around the side of the door to you know, really give himself some leverage.
He's swimming through like it's a box out.
Exactly. And then yesterday, you know, he gave it another shove, Larry Nance Jr. did, to the door. And look, if I'm Julius Randle, at some point there has to start being some genuine concern of like, man, this guy just won't back down in this position battle. Now, am I completely overreacting to the combination of the Summer League and last night? Or is there something potentially here that people aren't necessarily interested in responding to?
I'd say that the first thing I'd say is it's one preseason game. So, Anthony, just chill out. It's one preseason game.
I refuse.
And no, but in all seriousness, I mean, Randle did not look good last night. But the argument that I would make and that we talked about before the show is that none of the starters really looked that good last night. They looked pretty stilted together. And I think the offense looked very, you know, what we saw in practice a couple days ago when you and I were freaking out about all the ball and man movement and stuff, that was not what we saw from the starters last night. It's still against an actual NBA defense and not air. It's still very robotic. They don't necessarily find their first option right off the bat, and you see that still. You see that little loading wheel kind of churning as they're trying to figure out, all right, where's the next guy running to? How is this going to work? Why is Lou Williams never passing the ball? All of those kind of things. And I just think that there are enough factors there that it's not, again, I hate to be the guy that's always saying don't freak out, but if this is not the time to freak out, and I'll tell you when it is. But I think you're absolutely right that Randle is, you know, the more of this stuff that does build up, if it continues to go like this throughout the preseason, is that, you know, Nance Jr. is going to force his way into that conversation of, is it time to start prioritizing this guy? And again, it's just one game last night, but, you know, if this keeps going, then that's what's going to happen. And I think that Walton's demeanor and his words so far have led me to believe, and I think you as well, that that's not a move that he'll necessarily hesitate to make if he thinks it's what's best for the team.
How much dancing have you done in your career, in your life? Like, how much, like, you know, stepped dancing have you done? Just roll with me here for a second.
I would definitely say not much.
Now, I like country music. To people, I'm sorry to people I am letting down by saying that. But in liking country music, there's line dancing, there's two-stepping, there's all kinds of, you know, couples pairing dancing that has to go on. And the first time you ever do those dances, you can actually see people counting the steps in their head, right? Where it's like, all right, one, two, three, left, right, left, spin maybe here. Oh my God, I'm way behind. I gotta, you know, and that's what I saw in that first quarter, especially with the starters.
I had no idea where you were going, but that was actually excellent. Well done. I'll give you a hat tip for that one.
Thank you. And again, this is a point that JD or Contrarian Barbarian made. And, you know, he and I were going back and forth today, and he said that the you know,
where was it, in the DMs? Are you name drop of the night for a second time?
Oh my gosh, it's not a name drop, but the point that he and I were making was that, yeah, the second unit got in there, and they were just, it looked like they were just told, like, hey, just go out there, create some havoc, and see what kind of comes out of it. And just like in Summer League, Larry Nance Jr. excels in that type of play, right? Where it's just, hey, go out there, be an athlete.
It's like, Larry, go dunk on some people.
Yeah, hey.
And he's like, all right, coach, I got you.
Exactly. Larry, on defense, get your hand on the ball as often as you possibly can.
Just block and deflect everything. Sure thing. You got it.
Done. And then offensively, yeah, like you said, just roll really hard to the basket, run in transition, and see what you can do with the rim, right? Yeah. And I think that would be the number one caveat to those who are freaking out about Julius Randle right now. Me, I'm not necessarily among those people who are freaking out about Julius Randle, But for those who were saying, yeah, Larry Nance Jr. is way better than Julius Randle, I would say it looked to me like Randle was a part of a unit that was focused on improving, you know, on playing a certain way, and Larry Nance Jr. was part of a unit that was allowed to just go out there and play, and that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. Whereas, like, if we saw those roles reversed and we saw Julius, you know, allowed to just go out there and play, get out in transition, I feel like he would do pretty well out there in transition, right? Because that's where he's really good, in space and making decisions on the move like that. But running an offense like that, running an offense that they frankly haven't really worked on much, because according to everybody around training camp, they said they've worked on defense.
I think we settled on 155% defense the drills by the end of it.
So for, you know, for a starting group that hasn't worked very much on that offensive system, they were always going to struggle. And that's an oversight that I think, frankly, Harrison, you and I kind of missed on, you know, in predicting and how last night was going to go. And I think we'll see that for the next couple games as well.
No, it's like when you're used to playing in an offense that involves almost no man movement and almost no cutting, screening, whatever, and it's just isolate and beat your guy for, you know, a whole 2 years, like Randle basically was, because even though he didn't play that first year, that's all he was really watching.
Right.
So it's like that kind of stuff. I mean, that's similar. I mean, it's not like Kentucky ran an incredibly intricate offense while he was there.
He was only there for a year.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I can't imagine that his high school teams did much more than just give him the ball and let him get to the rim. So, you know, this is a new thing for Julius, and I think he has to get used to it. Although Nance Jr. might do a little better, I'd say, as kind of that high post facilitator than Randle would right now. I think he's a little bit better passer right now. And, you know, he actually talked about that so far, that that's been his favorite thing, has been getting a chance to facilitate from the high post.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess to put a cherry on this conversation, or at least put a thumbnail in the conversation, is something that we'll come back to.
We'll come back later.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to continue to have this conversation. But as of right now, I don't know if there's anybody out there who can say that Nance hasn't looked leaps and bounds, pardon the pun, better than Julius Randle as of right now. All right. Harrison won't even respond to that. So the next segment that we're going to get to then is a little bit more shade that we just literally can't avoid at this point in our analysis of the Lakers. We get these things sent to us. Hashtag 50 Shades of Shade. It honestly makes me a little happy when I see that hashtag out there from whoever sends it. So we greatly.
So tonight it was hashtag Deloading Hive @list10 mm-hmm. that sent this one to us, and it was from Bill Orme's profile on Luke Walton and the positive energy that he's brought to the Lakers. And Nance Jr. was talking about the training camp. Basically, he was talking about training camps, and they were talking about what Walton brings to the table, and they were talking about condition. So am I allowed amnesty on reading a quote reading directly from the text?
Should we send the note out there now about the game, or should we just wait until?
Let's hold off on that.
All right.
So I have amnesty for reading verbatim from a text?
Nope. Not
all right. In contrast to the former Lakers head coach, Walton prefers to mix conditioning into drills. If the team is running, they're probably running a fast break. So here's the quote from Nance. If we can run for a purpose or run in a scrimmage or pickup, Nance said, that's so much better than get on the line senseless running.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now,
I would agree too, but that's some shade.
That is some shade. I'd put that upwards of like a 45, to be completely honest, because that's like that feels like a direct shot at like. But I don't know if that's necessarily a shot at.
It may not be how he was. It was definitely the way that it was led into made it feel like a shot. But who knows? I mean, it was a good comparison.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, it could be at any coach out there, right? Cause
or it could just be a compliment of Walton.
That's how all these things go, right? That any compliment of Walton is always going to feel kind of shady towards the last guy. But the note I was going to make is, like, towards any old school coach who just says, you know, who wastes time in practice with conditioning when you can just run fast break drills, when you can just run defensive drills that are going to condition the players anyway, but actually getting out and running just feels it's just a waste of time because all you're working on is running in a straight line at different speeds.
Yeah.
So I would say, all right, so I'll bring mine down actually now that I talk about it from that standpoint. I'll bring it down to like a 42. I'll bring it down to a James Worthy.
I'm going to go Meta World Peace. I'm going to go a 37 or 37. I guess run our test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the most shade that's been. It's definitely not the most shade that's been thrown at the last guy. But in terms of what it actually could mean, there's something there, but it could be just in terms of, you know, if I could actually see Larry being a future head coach with stuff like this, right? Where he's
a very good quote. The players seem to like him. I could see it if he wants it later in his, he's got a long way to go, but yeah.
Right. And when he talks like this and you know, regarding, you know, the actual stylings of old school versus new school coaches, this is a really cognizant kind of quote that tells me he's really thinking about the game in practice beyond just do whatever the coach tells me to do and deal with it later.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about him on the Luke Walton coaching tree going forward.
We can only hope. So that does it for 50 Shades of Shade. That does it for the show in its entirety. We talked already about the reaction and we did some analytics housekeeping regarding the Lakers' newest hires. We talked about Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. I'm sure we're going to continue to talk about that moving forward. We already have spoken about that. We did so on a gondola. So go back and find that show. They're all on Audio Boom. They're all on iTunes. You can find the Gondola show in particular. I think the video is still on Silver Screen and Roll's Facebook, right?
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
So the actual video of that is on Silver Screen and Roll's Facebook. So make sure you guys are checking that out. And for all the other shows, as well as the outlets that I just talked about, it's also on TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you guys are using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek to get your $20 redeemable code as soon as you use that promo code for the very first time. And we will talk to everybody again tomorrow, which is going to be Thursday. No.
You'll be listening to this on Thursday. We will talk to everybody on Friday before the Lakers game. And then I am going to try and get a bonus Saturday morning podcast for you up after the game. We'll see how that goes. But we may have an extra one for you this week since it's a Friday game.
Bonus coverage for everybody. All right, so that does it again for tonight's show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Harrison, for joining me in this conversation. And we'll talk to everybody again tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Kareem Rush.